can't sleep, trapped in my own mind. Anxiety. Drowning in the darkness, just can't see the light.
Depression.
Doubtful, insecure, can I really do this?
Imposter syndrome.
I'm alone, unloved, just feel invisible.
That's loneliness.
We're not therapists, but we need one.
Hello, and welcome to We're Not Therapists,
But We Need One.
The podcast where we have honest and vulnerable conversations about our mental health with one another.
I'm Jay.
And I'm Anthony, and neither of us are therapists.
But we're trying to help ourselves and each other by sharing our experiences and feelings.
In this show, we'll deep dive into topics like anxiety, depression,
self-esteem, trauma, and more.
We'll talk about how they affect us,
how we cope,
and what we've learned along the way.
We're not doing this to bash or blame anyone,
especially our families, who may have contributed to our mental health challenges.
We're doing this to heal and grow,
and hopefully inspire others who can relate and open your mind to your own healing.
We also want to warn you that this show may contain some sensitive and triggering content.
We'll be talking about personal and painful things that happen to us and how they still affect us to this day.
If you're not comfortable with that, or if you feel like you need professional help,
this show may not be for you. But
if you're ready to join us on this journey of self-discovery and self-improvement, we're glad to have you.
We're not experts, but we're honest and we're not alone. Now, let's start the timer. Jay, how do you feel today?
Well, I can't believe it's been a week this fast already. I'm still carrying the same bag of cheese that I was last week.
Out in your hand the whole time?
Mozzarella. Well, at least
it's great value. It'll be fine.
We're continuing last week's episode, if you didn't listen or don't remember, because we're cooking and we're enjoying ourselves.
Yeah, we're having a great time. So,
to continue on, we were talking about religion and how every religion's against each other. They're very judgy of each other's beliefs, when I just don't understand that. I'm judgy of all their beliefs.
I am too. I used to not be, obviously.
Same.
It's like a little gay boy Christian, but like I am so, you know what? Ironically, it was a physics professor at Oklahoma State who really changed my mind, because I had made some comment about, you know, like I respect that you have your religion, blah, blah, blah. And to somebody, and he was like, and he was just literally like, no, I don't respect your religion. I don't respect that you can have that, because the very second your religion extends past you, it becomes disrespectful to me.
I mean, that's assault.
And I was like, that is a great, that's just a great way to phrase that, because your religion should never extend past your own person.
That, I would have never thought of it that way.
He just said it so casually, and ever since then I was like, you know what? Like, one, he was incredibly intelligent. He was a doctor. But I was like, you know what? That actually makes a lot of sense. Like, I never really thought about it that way, because I was raised that you had to respect that.
You know what's hilarious?
As long as it was Christianity.
Is when I was younger, I didn't understand, like, how... I didn't understand my parents' like political side, their conservative belief. I just literally thought everyone thought the same way. And then some people just thought, oh, this religion makes more sense to me. I guess I thought that it would make more sense to me when I went to school, because I knew that you got more conservative as you got older and as you learn more is what how I understood it. And I went to school and started learning more. And I've become so much more liberal, because I'm like, I know there's a whole world out there that thinks differently than me. Why is my experience in life and thought process the only way that we should live?
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think what really makes it, like, what really is funny to me is that the people who remain staunchly conservative are either people who benefit from conservative spending
tax
plans,
breaks.
Like tax breaks. which are very wealthy people,
tax breaks, or... and reduction in deregulation.
Deregulation. Yep. So those people, or people who are less educated, and like those, and I guess it's just very like, yeah, because the two ends of the spectrum, one end, you're really like speaking to the people that you want to speak to, which is the people who have money. And then the other end of the spectrum, you're taking advantage of their, what is to them their education, which is their religion, and using it as a sounding board for your own ideologies so that you can get their votes.
Yeah.
And it's so funny to me because like so many other people fall like right in the middle, and that's the people who get overlooked. And that's also why we don't have a middle class in America anymore. So I suppose there's that. But like, yeah, you run into it so often. And I think what also gets me growing up in such a conservative small town around the same people, you think there are different people in those towns, but I guess once you get out of it, you're like, oh, right. No, everyone's kind of the same. Is how offended they get if you have a differing opinion.
They'll say
they respect your different opinion, but then you have a different opinion and suddenly you are offensive.
On the phone this last week, I called my mom out because I don't remember how I got in the conversation of psychology and whatnot, but
you were telling her to go see a therapist.
Probably. Oh, because I think she said something about it, kind of had this like negative connotation to it in a bit about my sister doing therapy. And
yeah,
but it wasn't like really negative, but just the way she says things. And I said, I'm like, well, I'm in therapy. Yeah. And I said, she's like, oh yeah, I'm sure it's good. And I was like, we should have done it forever ago. And she's like, oh, I know, it would have been so helpful. Oh, Alexa, start a 25-minute timer.
I was just going to go off the clock on this one.
Oh, I'm glad you did that. I just, ooh, I guessed time really well. Anyways.
Yeah, no, you did. You did a great job.
But
it's that kitchen time mindset. And when you get into a real cook mode, you know when things
need to start. You know how much time has flown.
Yep. That's the sign of a good home cook.
For all you single guys out there. But I called mom out and told her that I'm like, we should have done a long time ago. And she goes, oh, it would have been so helpful. And I'm like, that's interesting coming from you, because you always made fun of psychology. I wanted to go to school for it, but I knew that you said psychologists were crazy, so I never wanted to do it. Like the backpedaling, but defense that she had to think up. And it's always that I'm being a little bit, I'm always being a little testy. Like I'm just being the black sheep child.
I think it's to some degree, I'm sure like she's probably not wrong, but at the same time, there's a difference between being the black sheep child and just genuinely calling somebody out for something.
Oh, and I do it all the time now.
Which, I mean, you should. I think that's something that I've gotten better at with my parents. Where I'm just like, I'm not going to let that slide. You can't just like say whatever the fuck you want whenever you want and expect me to just gloss over it.
Yeah.
And then that's the other thing. The stance that I've taken with my family is I don't offer unlimited forgiveness.
Yeah.
You get so many chances based on who you are and depending on what you do to me. Like one time my dad just made a really not good comment to Joe over Facebook. And whenever I messaged him about it, he doubled down. And I knew what was going on. I knew that he didn't mean it the way that it read, that he had been drinking and that like,
but you have to learn to think.
Yeah. And so I didn't talk to him for like a year. Cause I was like, look, like I'm just, you could have apologized, but you didn't do that. The very first thing you did was double down. And you know what? You can fuck all the way off because I don't have to respect what you say.
No.
I don't have to keep you in my life.
There is no
law around that. And in fact, people are better off by creating that space for themselves.
I'm tired of pretending that I'm like, oh, well, you're family, so I have to just deal with it. Nope, I don't care.
Nope, I don't. I don't have to just deal with it. And honestly, if I want to be rid of you, I will be rid of you. I feel like I'm at a point where I've cut out like over half of my family and I just don't talk to them anymore. Like all of my dad's side, which isn't, they're not all bad. I just don't engage because I don't want to put myself in a space to be at threat of engaging with ones I don't want to.
Right. Know? Yeah. It's like, I'm sorry that you, there's some of you are just, what's the word I'm trying to think of? You're, or the phrase, you're just.
You're sort of caught in the crossfire. In a
yeah.
way.
It's like my grandma. I'm like, you're like me, but unfortunately, you're kind of just struggling, or you're suffering the consequences of everyone around you.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's a good thing to take that stance, because if you don't hold people accountable, then they won't ever get held accountable. And especially in situations like that, where they know that if they treat you however they want and you won't do anything about it, they'll continue to just get, it'll just get worse.
Well, and that's it. I just got to a point where I was like, you need to know when you cross boundaries with me, which is way more than I think you imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've started just, when mom says something, I call her out.
Which you absolutely should. I've gotten to the point now where I do that to my mom too. I feel kind of bad because I'm always going to feel bad. I wish that I didn't, but I'm learning more about myself that like I'm still in that people pleasing way where I'm going to feel bad. But like the other day she made some offhand comment about me not going to my dad's retirement party after specifically my dad said, like, I hope he doesn't come because I don't want to drive all the way up here for like an hour long thing. That's just me and my coworkers. And so I didn't go because I had a work thing pop up that was basically, I was the only person who could take care of it. If there was any other option, man, that looks good.
Hey, it's so good.
then I would have taken another option. I would have gone, but it was very much a, I made the sacrifice. I made the call. And the other day she was just like, oh, this is going to make you feel bad, but some people were asking where you were. And I was like, how can you start a sentence with this is going to make you feel bad and then make this remark that has nothing to do with anything? Like, the only reason you're saying it is to make me feel bad. And I was like, that doesn't make me feel bad. So first of all, it doesn't make me feel bad because you said it that way. And second of all, like, I don't care what that person thinks either. I don't know who that person is, and I never will, because I don't know anybody he works with because they work 5 hours away from me.
I also realize that my mom does that, and she like really makes it up. It's big in her head. Because I'll never forget the time where she's like, so-and-so really misses you. She would love to see you again, and blah, 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 blah. And she asks about you all the time. And she like made it sound like this woman just missed me, cherished me. I'm up there for a holiday or something.
She thought about you in her downtime.
She comes into a restaurant, sees me, and I'm like, hi. Like, I am like not hamming it up, but I'm like, oh, it's so good to see you. And she's like, oh, hi, Jay. And it was just this casual response. And I was like, you are making this big in your head to try and guilt me into coming more.
Yep. And let me tell you, that's my mom does the same shit. And what gets me about it is I'm going to go up there and then you're going to do what? You're going to just guilt trip me the whole time I'm there too. So why should I do it?
Well, it's also just like when I'm up there, it's her telling me what's going on around town. I mean, there's no interest in what I'm doing except how's work. Which I could change jobs, and she would never fucking know.
So I will say, my mom does ask me about my job whenever she calls. But I think it's because she thinks of things in the terms of her and my father's relationship. I say my father, like he's not my dad's relationship.
My father. God, I love recording this way because the camera doesn't move, and I'm just like.
I know, I'm going to pop in and out every now and again. Because, like, well, I guess you can kind of see me because I've got my camera set up in such a way that it's like wide angle.
You do better than me. I kind of like janked this up whenever I set it up, and I'm great with it.
Yeah, and listeners, watchers, if you were curious, this is how the Pico turned out looking.
Oh, that looks fantastic. Yeah, if you're just
looks really good.
Like, I'm sorry if you're just listening on these episodes, because since we're cooking.
Yeah, this is kind of a watch thing. I was trying to see if I could set a wider frame for this so that you could see what I was making while I was making it too. But unfortunately my camera doesn't do that, listeners, so.
Yeah, and I'm trying to stay in a specific range so you can just watch me cook, which is a very ugly view, but tough shit.
You know what? It does guilt me into cleaning up after myself, though.
That's why I did a one-pan dish, because I was like, I don't want shit to do.
Well, I had to do this anyways. There was no, two ways about it. I got the ingredients, and I was like, okay, I've got to start cooking with these. And I got to make something out of them. Otherwise, they'll end up like the last jalapenos that I bought and look like this bad boy here.
Oh, God, how I've been there before.
I'm thinking of turning them into a roasted cream sauce, but I think I may have missed the mark on that one. So I'm just going to toss them. I don't understand that imperative to make you feel bad for no other reason than to make you feel bad.
I do. Right? It's because they are people that can't tell you their true feelings. They can't tell you, I miss you. I wish you would come see me more, because that's vulnerable. And it's hard to be vulnerable at that age. They, at least with my parents, being vulnerable is a sign of weakness. And so their method is, I'm going to turn this on you so you'll feel guilt and start showing up, which makes me even more focused on not showing up. Because I'm like, no, you're not going to play mind games with me to get what you want. I'm done with that.
Yeah. I'm the same way with, my dad doesn't do that to me. Brandon, my dad only texts me if he's had a drink. I think it's out of love. This is his way of breaking his walls down, just like you were talking about with writing.
That's better than my dad. I don't hear from him for months on end.
It's become more common now that he's retired, and I think he's his health isn't as good, and so I think he's getting that mentality of
this is it.
I am in fact going to die at some point, and
I wonder when my parents are going to hit that point and be like, oh fuck, maybe there's something we could do. But I don't think it's going to happen.
I don't think that's... I was like, what are you suggesting?
No. Them thinking maybe it's something we can do, not us.
Oh, okay. I was like, what? Maybe there's something we can do. I'm going to go visit them more often. I'm going to make them the fattiest, saltiest meats. That way they can have a heart attack, and then they can stop thinking about themselves.
You guys want bacon? I'm making bacon. It's the fourth meal today of bacon. It's 10 a.m.
It's bacon. It's been lightly buttered and candied. And
all right. So our dish is bacon, mac and cheese.
But yeah, I feel like that's the... I don't know. I do, again, I say generational, and it's not everybody, but I do feel like it's generational and locational, in that if you grew up in this area, in that generation, and you grew up under Christianity like that, you get these very black and white views of things that their parents don't have. And so I just wonder how that came to be.
Wonder too, because I watched a documentary once where they were talking to, I think it was the golden generation, which was the parents of the boomers.
Yeah, that's my grandma's.
Yeah, and that guy, one of the guys that they talked to, he was basically like, yeah, we really fucked that generation up. Because...
I feel like you told me about this at some point.
Yeah, he's like, at the time, science was telling us that you have to make your child happy. Because we all grew up very poor and unhappy, and so you had to do everything you could to make that child happy. And I was like, well, yeah, cool. I get that. My parents didn't grow up that way. All my parents were extremely poor. And so they're poor, and my parents definitely weren't coddled by their parents. My grandma definitely did not coddle people. It was very much the take care of yourself. You have to learn. Life is tough. Maybe that's why.
Well, and so that was very much like where my grandma was sort of the same way. And as she's getting older, she's like softened a lot.
Oh, yeah. Grandma softened up so much.
Yeah. But like, I don't know. I feel like there was so much trauma happening to that generation and it was so unchecked. Because mental health wasn't something you talked about. It wasn't something you dealt with. It was just like, well, I don't know. I worried that they suffered so much abuse that they were just fucked from the get-go.
Mm-hmm.
And so all of life has been them trying to get back at everybody else because they can't get back at their abusers.
I mean, that's true. That makes sense. My mom, like, I get some of her traumas. A lot of it makes sense because she's partially disabled. So she was relentlessly bullied as a kid because she was so different.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, the reason you don't like that I'm gay is because that is different and standoutish and does not follow what everyone around you thinks. And your goal as an adult, because you at 8 years old and on, had to adapt a life.
Yeah.
Your goal in life is to fit in every way possible so nobody stands out, so you can't be pointed out.
Yeah. And that's the same mentality that both of my parents have, which is wild because my dad is like, at heart, he's a musician. And I'm just like, I feel like you kind of fell into this life of normalcy by happenstance and you didn't really ever want it. Which always makes me feel a little bad. So I'm like, okay, this is a life unlived. But I mean, that's very much how my mom was raised. It's like everything needs to be this very particular way. And also mental health doesn't exist. Like you don't talk about it. To the point that when I was growing up, because she did have mental health issues that she always had to deal with and she had to go like be in the hospital for, and she had to like take medicine for, she would always call going to her psychiatrist, going to her crazy doctor.
Oh, yeah.
And I was just like, that, you kind of cheapen the issue that you're having by talking about it that way.
Yeah.
Not that I don't ever joke about my mental health. Oh, Lord knows. We have a whole podcast. But it was always like that. There was never a serious conversation about it. If it was a mental health issue, it was always a... like jokey conversation, like, oh, I'm crazy. And it's like, no, you have legitimate trauma that you're trying to deal with and heal from and cope with, and you're doing it any way you can. So
yeah, which I kind of hate talking to my grandma about this kind of stuff, because grandma is Reggie, I'm not feeding you this dish. Grandma is actually super, she's pretty smart. And psychology is something that she loves. And she talks to me. She would talk to me about it and how, like, she took night classes once and she studied a little bit of psychology and wrote like papers over books that she read about psychology. And listening to her and how infatuated she is with it, I'm like, I'm so, so sad that you grew up when you did. Because I'm like, I feel like you missed out on so much cool potential in life. And it bothers me that I'm like, you were a woman that you couldn't go do that stuff at your age. You had to go have a family, and that was your expectation, and you had four kids.
That is upsetting and heartbreaking. Jesus. And I feel like I worry about that with like my grandma as well, and like I always worry about my mom, like, and my dad, you know, what life did you really want to have, and then like what life were you forced into. I say as we're sitting here like dunking on our parents, I worry about them still, and I think that's just natural. But my grandma is so much more open-minded to mental health than my mom is.
Same.
And it blows my mind because, you know, she raised her, so How? How does that happen?
Same. I like... Moms, again, makes sense because she had to, from 8 years old and on, she had to adapt to life a lot differently than the rest of the world. But...
Yeah.
But still, how she became so black and white and unwilling to budge her opinions on stuff.
Yes.
Unless something that benefits her changes her mind.
No, it's not.
She used to rag on oil companies all the time because they were greedy for more money. And now I'm just like, that's not quite how it works, Mom. No. You think American oil companies run the market. They don't. Then I started working for oil, and now oil's a big deal. Like, we can justify why oil behaves the way it does.
So, is that her way of showing her, showing you that she cares, do you think?
That's her way of going, oh, I have to change my mind because my son has a good job in that industry.
Huh.
So I have to adapt to it because he's getting something good out of it, which makes me look good, is how I kind of...
I was like, is this her, weird love language? No. Really, seven steps to get there?
Her love language is also cooking. She loves cooking.
That's not my mom's love language. My mom cooked out of cans. I love her to death. And I loved a lot of the dishes she made. Still to this day, I will text her every now and again and be like, you know, I remember we ate this XYZ casserole. What was in it? And she'd be like, you need a can of ranch style beans. You need a can of this. You need some ground beef. You need nacho cheese Doritos. And I'm like, oh, say no more. This is comfort food city for me.
I'm sold.
I'm going to elevate this, and not in the I'm going to deconstruct it and use really nice ingredients. No, I'm going to elevate it by seasoning it.
Yeah.
I'm not salting this motherfucker.
yeah.
But yeah, we always ate out of cans, which don't misunderstand. I definitely had plenty of food and it was good food when I was a kid, and I never wanted for food.
It is funny looking back how I had some amazing meals. Mom made awesome stuff. As an adult, I re-eat that and I'm just like, this is very bland.
Oh, yeah, you got to season it. That's the very first, because there's this one dish that my mom made. She called it Mexican chicken, which I feel like is racist. I don't know that that's what I call it anymore, but the step one to it is boiling the chicken, which is the absolute worst thing to chicken.
I know, I was just like...
I never make it that way. I always use my Instant Pot and mix it with some broth and some spices and stuff.
Instant Pots.
That's my... It's because I want it to be that easy dinner. I remember it being... So I need it to keep some of the core elements. So I don't want to go over the top by doing a lot of stuff. But I do need to not have boiled chicken in the meal.
Yeah, if any dish... Okay, so Mom made chicken and noodles. Her chicken and noodles. And her method was basically throwing chicken in there, boiling it, and then adding the noodles and all.
Yeah.
And as a kid, it was good. I didn't realize how chewy the chicken was. As an adult, I'm just like... Absolutely not. I can't do it that way. There has to be this method to my cooking. And that's why I turned into my crockpot method, which is pretty, pretty infamous. Remember that, boys.
All right. Oh. We can cook. We've shown it on film that we can do it.
We can cook. I can make really cheesy dishes.
Technically, I have cooked nothing this whole time. I've just made pico very slowly over the course of 2 weeks, if you will.
I can cook.
I'm about to heat up a leftover baked potato with brisket.
Oh, fuck, that sounds so good.
I love that
our love language is cooking.
There's just something about it that I think food is such an ephemeral thing, and it's universal, and it's just an easy way to tell somebody hey, I put care into this because I care.
And for me, it's something that we have to have to survive. Yeah. And so I'm like, I want to do this for you to keep you alive for me.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding.
Well, it's also the impermanence of it, right? Like, I put effort into this thing that I know is going to be gone soon. But I put this much, like, my heart and soul into it because I care about you, because what I want you to have is a good experience with this.
That's
it. I want you to, yeah.
Oh, man. And if I cook something that disappoints me, I can't tell you the absolute disappointment I have.
I've learned with cooking to give myself a lot of leeway on certain things.
I need to. Because
I will point out the flaws in my food before anybody else does. And everyone's like, no, it's good. It's good. It's good. And I'm like, look, I'm not being hard on myself. I'm just making mental notes so next time I know not to do this, and or that I know to do this better.
And I'm always the guy going, you're just saying that. You're just saying that to be nice to me.
I literally told somebody once, because I made gumbo for a friend for his birthday, and I burnt the roux because it was not heating up. And I think the issue was, is I wasn't using a thick bottom pan, and I should have been using my...
Thick bottom.
God, and I tasted it, and I was like, this is burnt. It's burnt. And I was, no, it's fine. And I was like, you guys, I can taste it. I'm not stupid. Like, I understand. I can taste the food. I know it's burnt. I'm not being critical of myself. I'm just tasting it and being like, yeah, it's burnt.
I'm just factually saying I burnt this. So next time I'll be like, don't cook it so long. Cook it at a lower temperature. Stuff like that.
Use my Dutch oven next time instead of using a thin bottom pot, because the Dutch oven can make a dark roux that I needed
without me
having to like crank up the heat.
Speaking of, what are we making next time on this show with a Dutch oven? I'm kidding.
No. Maybe we need to turn this into a cooking therapy show, because I enjoyed this format.
I think that's really brilliant.
I think it'd be fun.
Six or seven listeners, tell us what you thought of it before we get too invested.
Yeah, seriously, because I had to move a lot of my setup from my office to my kitchen.
Yeah. And you had two episodes to taste test this, so.
Ooh, it's a sample.
I love this.
I think that Beards and Sundries listeners should listen to this too, because this is a good one.
Look at that. Perfect timing.
Perfect timing. Bye, asshole.
Bye.
No, bye. Bye.
And we're out of time. Thank you for joining us today on our show. As you can see, therapy is not always easy, but it can be very rewarding and healing.
If you want to follow our journey and see how we progress, tune in next episode for the continuation of We're Not Therapists, But We Need One.
Join us on our socials, TikTok, Facebook, Threads, and Instagram, and email us at nopenottherapists@gmail.com.
That's nopenottherapists@gmail.com.
We would love to hear your thoughts on our journey or any questions you have that we can help answer. Until then,
stay safe.
Mental health is a serious and important issue that affects millions of people around the world.
If you or someone you know is struggling with depression, anxiety, trauma, or have any other mental health conditions, you're not alone, and there is help available.
You don't have to suffer in silence or feel ashamed of your feelings.
There are many resources and support networks that can help you cope and heal.
Here are just a few.
The Crisis Text Line, which is a 24/7 service that connects you to trained crisis counselors who can help you with any type of emotional crisis. You can text HOME to 741-741 in the U.S. or Canada, or 85258 in the UK, or 50808 in Ireland. You can also visit crisistextline.org for more information.
The National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, which is a 24/7 service that provides free and confidential support for people in distress, as well as prevention and crisis resources. You can call them at 1-800-273-8255 or chat online at suicidepreventionlifeline.org.
The Headspace app, which is a meditation and mindfulness app that can help you reduce stress, improve your mood, and enhance your well-being. The app offers guided meditations, breathing exercises, sleep sounds, and other tools that can help you relax and cope with your emotions. You can download the app for free and try it for 10 days or subscribe for unlimited access to all features. You can find the app on the App Store or Google Play, or visit headspace.com for more information.
These are just some of the resources that we have found helpful, but there are many more out there that can suit your needs or preferences. The most important thing is to reach out for help when you need it, and to know that you are not alone. Mental health is not a weakness, but a strength, and taking care of it is one of the best things you can do for yourself and your loved ones. Until next time.